Today we are, Bezrat Hashem, going to finish up the introduction of Mesilas Yesharim. If somebody can tell me what page we're on in your books, we're at Amar HaChacham, we read Omar Lecha HaEmet, we finished that paragraph where the Chacham finally admits his struggles in the area of Avodat Hashem and Avodat Sheval, in the realm of Avodat Shevalev, which we described as the four-fifths of Judaism outside of the mitzvot, and that which fills and uplifts the mitzvot. And we're up to Amar HaChassid, Re'eze Matzati. What page is Re'eze Matzati on?
26.
Amar HaChassid, Re'eze Matzati, B'chol Yuniyu Melechet Pishuti. Here's what I found in all of my investigations and all of the work of my separation. She'ein davar kashe ba'olam katov ha'amiti v'ashlimut. There's nothing harder in the world like pure, genuine, honest, true tov, goodness, and complete, perfect, whole tov and goodness. There's nothing harder to achieve than that. Ki ikuvim al ikuvim nimseulo. There are barriers again and barriers on top of barriers that are in the way of them. Kulam chazakim. Each one of them is very strong. Kulam kashim od. They're very strong. Chomag vohad latayim uvriach is a quote from Devarim of, it's like a high wall with bolted doors that are locking out a city. Like each one is like the huge doors that block in a city that allow it to be protected and fortified. They surround each midan, getting to each midan, is like breaking through those walls and those doors. Asher acharish yamol ha'adam lahasir harbe mihem, that after a person toils continuously to remove many of them, odi sharulo harbe yoter ad shiagil lehasigo al hanachon, there still remain tremendous more until the person finally achieves their intended destination. Achieving success in working on a midah is tremendous, hard, difficult, long work. That's why so many of us naturally, and it's supposed to be that way, have difficulty working on our midot. The goal of life is not to find the path of least resistance, is not to find those things that come most natural to us and easiest to us and only engage in those things. Many of the deeper svarim point out that when a person finds one thing, an avera, a ta'ava, a piece of themselves that they particularly struggle with, that they're particularly drawn toward, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu putting a road sign in the ground, that's the direction they should be going in terms of tikkun. That's what they were put here to fix. Adam la'amal yulad. Man was born into this world to work. And we're working on those tikkun hamidos. And it's a long, hard journey. It's not meant to be simple. It's not meant to be easy. And the Ramchal is emphasizing that here. The Chassid is emphasizing that here. There are tremendous walls in fixing oneself. And it takes the heat bonenut and the honesty with oneself to A, recognize where those struggles are, and to choose to actively engage those struggles instead of taking the path of least resistance. I quoted this maybe here, I quoted this in a lot of places. It's one of my favorite kind of hidden evil nursery rhymes. All nursery rhymes are evil. Those of you who don't know that, do a little research. One of my favorite evil nursery rhymes is Row, Row Your Boat. Did we do that in this group yet?
No.
How does Row, Row Your Boat go?
Row,
row your boat. Gently, that one. I walked into that one. Gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Sounds really nice and really pleasant and really serene and docile and wonderful, and why would that be evil? But it's nursery rhyme, so it is. So what happens? Row, row, row your boat. Which way do streams go? We just did it in Yehoshua. They go downstream. Why is he rowing if he's going downstream? The stream's taking him in that direction anyway. The rowing is a facade. The rowing is a farce. He could pick up the oars and he would still go in that direction. Merrily, 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 merrily. Everything is great. Why? Life is but a dream. He's not doing anything in his life. He's letting life pass him by. He's pretending to take charge of his life and letting life pass him by. Sorry for those whose childhoods I just crushed.
No, I don't know.
Did you come up with that one? Or was that like...
That's an actual thing. I didn't make that one up.
Like shot.
Yeah,
like, it's
like
shot messed up.
Yeah. But this is the evil that creeps into the sidelines of our vision that we don't know. No, this is not for me.
Yeah.
No. What do you mean? It's Either you made it up or you wikied it. Those are your only two options. I appreciate that stance on my Lima Torah. So the idea there is that in the world we like to think that we're taking charge of our lives. We usually generally take the path of least resistance, even in the things that we think we're accomplishing. And what he's emphasizing here is especially what the Mikubalim emphasizes in the realm of Midot, that we are not is that our intent is directly to row upstream. That our goal is to find the way that's pushing against us, find the thing that's the most difficult for us, and to fight on that path and that journey to the tikkun of that midah. That's why we're here. It's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us so clearly where our most difficult challenges are. But to be honest about that as being a difficulty, to be honest about the challenge, and to be willing to pick up the fight, that's the difference between the Chacham and the Chassid. That's the difference between Chochman and Chassidut. That's the difference between simple Avoda and Avoda Shebalev. And Avodat Hashem at all levels of self, of changing oneself to be an Eved Hashem, not just in the mind, but in the heart. Not just to follow my animalistic instincts even when they're toward Tov, but to engage my lofty neshama and to find it, and to peel away, to find it at its source and its root, and to go in that direction and make that real. That's my journey. That's halachta bidrachav. That's a journey. Halachta, go, walk. Walk the path. Don't let it take you downstream. Walk the path. That's the idea of halachta bidrachav. Halotzir e, ki rova anashim asher ba'olam, and we'll talk about here in terms of path of least resistance. Halotzir e, ki rova anashim asher ba'olam, the majority of the people in the world, says the Ramchal through the Chassid, him ha'evlim v'chasrei hamada, they're unintelligent and lacking knowledge. V'hamiut, only a small fraction of humanity, anshei asecho v'chochma bateva, are people who are people of true intelligence and knowledge in the natural world. And even of those people, uvein anshei haseichel hativi atzmam, amongst those people who have a natural inclination toward intelligence, harov him asher lo limdu atzmam mechochmot ve'iyunim, kol shekhen bepishut, they're mostly people who have not bothered to learn things intensely or in depth. They waste their potential. And certainly have not gone to investigate deeply prishut, the ideas of separateness. Elishasku bischora, rather they engage in commerce. Uvishar melachot, they put all of their mind into their work. They let the world keep them from putting their energies and their mind that they were gifted with in realms of avodas Hashem. Oh, shebacharu. Lahem yishivata karot v'avatala, or even more, so they're people who sit basically hanging out on street corners, wasting their time. Think about, we all know somebody like this, you know, the people who are just these unparalleled geniuses, the people who after you've studied for your test for 3 days straight and haven't slept, like, oh, I'm going to open the book 5 minutes before the test and I'll get an 100, which is close to your 99, right? Those people who just have that natural inclination. What were they doing for the other 3 days? Very often, especially Bizman Azeh, it involves television, games, downloading stuff on the internet, right? You know, like, this is like, he's talking about people who are wasting their potential. People who have that mind don't always use it because they can get by in the way that the system of the world is set up, just doing in the minimal amount and using their mind whenever it's needed. And the rest of the time, he's talking about people who waste that potential. So the people who have that inherent intelligence, of those people, some of them put it all into their work, and some put it all into nothingness. The hamiut, now the minority of the minority, him shibikshu ha'idiyot v'halimudim. They're the people who truly seek out knowledge and learning and understanding. But even those people are divided. Uvein tofsei chokhmot atzmam. Even of the people who grab onto chokhmah themselves, people who actually engage it with all of their might. Harov hem asher lo yigagu atzmam umishmanam lo raza betokev hachakira chazaka vayun ha'atzum laredet lo'omkam shel dvarim. There are these people who do have the intelligence and do want to know stuff. Ricky, those are your wiki people. Those are the people, he says, who are... I didn't say you are. You don't want to be a wiki person. Those are the people who use their incredible capacity for intelligence to gather just enough information about just enough things that when they go to a party, they sound like the smartest person in the room. They have 1, 2, 3 sentences to say about everything. They gathered all of that. They organized it. They've got it down pat. They know how to sound really smart. But that's the extent to which they use their knowledge, is for their own ability to stand up and to look like the person in the room with the smartest brain. Of those people, meaning that's one half of the people who actually engage and use their intelligence in any capacity, v'amiyut heim shemarbim b'yishivat livarer ulabein davar. It's the minority of the minority of the minority who spend time sitting. B'yishiva here, I don't think even necessarily means in the yeshiva, but it could also mean in the yeshiva or in the midrasha. Sitting to clarify, and labin lashon lavan, white, to make totally clear, crystal clear, every single matter. Liot min hayodim befoal velo b'shem. People who know in action and not just in name, not people which are known as being smart people, but they actually know what they're talking about. They've spent the time, they've engaged, they've gone through deep, meaningful intellectual pursuit to really come to a clarity of knowledge. Since the Ramchal's time, I imagine that there are only less of those people in the world. People who truly strive to maximize their potential for knowledge. Knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is a reflection of the Torah. Uvein marbei yeshiva gam heim harovim asher ein chokhmatam v'yishivatam l'tachlit hashlemut v'lasod nachat ruach v'mi shesipa b'zeh. Now, here's where we get even finer. He's really bringing us, the Ramchal here is about being as honest as a person can possibly be. Even those people, now again we come to more, each paragraph is another reason why he had to rewrite this book, right? Mm-hmm. Even those people who do sit in yeshiva and do sit and give their and put their whole mind on what they're working, on what they're working on, what they're learning. The majority of people who are sitting in yeshiva, harov him asher ein chokhmatam, the majority, their intelligence, v'yishivatam, and they're sitting there, is not l'tachlit hashlemut, is not for the purpose of gaining personal perfection, of gaining actual perfection on a deep human level. And to do what's pleasant before the one who commanded them to learn in the first place. Why do they sit there? Because they love intelligence, and they find meaning in it, they find taste in it, they find reasoning in it. Like a person finds in food sweetness, and enjoyment and wonderful tastes, they enjoy intellectual pursuit. I feel like we're far enough along that if anybody's following along, they're either on the same page or they're not, but we can say it more explicitly. Like, this is something which is a very big struggle in the Torah world. When there is a certain path that's presented that is an entire path of intellectual pursuit, where the person with the largest brain, the largest capacity for intelligence, is the one who rises to the top, totally irrespective of their midos. And I've seen this again and again and again. Midos are totally irrelevant if the person's smart enough. Totally irrelevant in many, many places of Torah. If there's somebody coming and you want to show the greatness of your base medrash or your yeshiva, you take the top guy. Doesn't matter who he is. If he can give over a lumdashir that shows the greatness of your yeshiva, then that's the guy who's going to be put to the front and the top. That's the guy who's going to be front and center. That's the person who's going to be spotlighted. This is something which is perpetuated by our system. In modern day world, we prize the mind over the heart, and because of that, it seeps down into the people who are sitting in those batei medrash and midrashot. That they're taught through osmosis. They're taught through. They're taught inadvertently. They're taught...
Indirectly?
What?
Indirectly.
Indirectly. I'm looking for a different word, but let's go with indirectly. They're taught indirectly. It's subtle. That it doesn't matter who you are, it matters how smart you are and what you know. And that's what we prize. And that's who we want you to be. Second? And he's saying that that's not what a person's meant to be doing in a base medrash. That the goal of learning Torah is to be a Jew. Not to sound like a Jew, not to think like a Jew. To be a Jew from head to toe, from mind to heart, from heart to soul. And that's a paradigm shift. That many areas, not the whole, many areas of the Torah world, the Ramchal would be speaking to today. Yifat and Ilana.
I don't want to make a question. I just...
I don't know. I've said it a bunch of times.
Like, say one more.
I don't feel like it's such a chiddush. Like, I feel like, I mean, at least, like, the way, like, this isn't, like, so new to me, like, that it's not just about being, knowing everything and, like, being the smartest one. Like, it's about, like...
Can we be brutally honest for a moment?
Okay.
First of all, you're a person with heart, and that's part of where you're coming from. But in addition to that, think about the fact that midrashot of yeshivot and midrashot do emphasize musar, hashkafa, chasidut, more than yeshivot.
Okay,
and note how used as a venomous term is the term seminary Torahs. How yeshivas are able to wipe away the majority of what's learned in the seminary and say that it's insignificant by calling it seminary Torahs.
Okay.
Is
it called fluff? Yeah, it's called fluff.
It's also called fluff.
When I was in
one particular institution, there was once a sign on the wall which said, "Tired of seminary Torahs for your Shabbos table? Come and learn real Torahs for your Shabbos table." Okay? So let's just recognize the world that we're living in. So it happens to be that women are more in tune with a holistic perspective of Avodas Hashem on all levels of being. So it may be more intrinsic or more obvious to you. However, the world, the Torah world, in many places, does not see it as such.
And I still take it back. I realize it was probably a chiddush for that, the time. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm saying it's still a chiddush today.
Okay.
It's a chiddush we haven't come to.
Okay.
I truly believe that Ramchal would be crying twice as much in this generation as he was in his generation. And he certainly must have cried a lot based on what he went through in his life for trying to say what he said.
Crying over what? I don't get weird.
For the state of Kali Yisrael.
Like, what's the problem?
Think about the fact that in our generation, as one of my rabbis put it, we have, on a quantitative level, the amount, we've never had more limud Torah in the world, possibly in the history of the world. More batei medrash, more learning. The way that he puts it, I won't be the one to say it, I'm not going to say his name either, but many of you know who my rabbis are. As one of my rabbis put it, there's never been a lower quality qualitatively of Torah than there has ever been in any previous generation. People learn it on a superficial level. People go around and do mitzvot and don't know why. They don't know what they're doing. If we can be very honest and genuine, there was an individual who spoke to me yesterday and is struggling with the fact, somebody in the college, that this person's friends who walk around dressing very tzanua and very frum and very Beis Yaakov, what do I do about the fact that these are my role models and they're having relations with non-Jews? These are things that come to my desk. These are things that are happening. How do you have a world that's living in a place where you can have people who are tzanua from head to toe, so to speak, and I put that in parentheses because it's not a lifestyle of it and it's probably not even the halacha of it, but they're tzanua from head to toe, but they're not tzanua on the level of having a physical relationship before marriage with a non-Jew.
But no one would ever say that that's okay.
But how can a person... But we live in a world where a person can live in those two extremes. How can they... Why would they spend all the time...
Because you're Bechira, you can choose.
But why would they spend all of the time, energy, and effort following the halacha, quote-unquote, but they clearly have no idea what being tzanua is all about? Or it would be aberrant to them.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. If you really understood what tzniut meant, you can't. You could do it and be chotei, but it's not like this person indicated that this is not one person, it's many
I think
friends.
It's our whole generation on one difficult individual, meaning I'm sure it happens a lot, but I think...
It does happen a lot. I'm giving one example of many things that come across my desk, but I'm saying...
I think people are struggling. Do you know what I mean?
Struggle is fine, but we do live in... I believe, and I could be wrong, you can disagree with me, and I'm happy to have it out. I want to finish the paragraph, but I'm happy to have it out. I do believe in what one of my rabbeim says continuously, repeatedly, which is that we do live in a generation with the greatest quantity of Torah, but the lowest quality of Torah. People don't like to think. Even in the fact, think about for a second, that you were surprised that when we did Yoshua, that it could be that I sat there for hours and just thought about it and came to something. Like, he said, where did you get it from? Where did it come from? Where did you read it? Right? Like, where did you copy and paste it? What YU Torah shir did you listen to and then repeat it when you were standing in front of the room? But that's what we assume. Anybody's giving a shir, where did they get it from? They got it from online. We don't think anymore. We don't work anymore. We just present information that we got by copying and pasting it off Wikipedia. Or YU Torah, or 613, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But there's a sense of the fact that Torah is superficial, that we don't spend the time to deeply invest, engage, have amilut in Torah and amilut in ourselves. Have really, really sit and deeply criticize, scrutinize who we are. We're a generation that's so lost on that level. We have no idea who we are. I speak for myself as much as anybody else. We have no idea who we are. We have no idea who we are to the extent where, without going into details I don't want to digress, but just hamivin yavin, where we're talking about the potential which has zero halachic or hashkafic basis at all, but we're talking about finding ways to make sure that we're not talking to people face-to-face on Shabbos in a way that's okay. Because we don't know who we are. We can't sit there quiet, silently, and think. That's like frightening to us to have a date to be totally disconnected. That we're trying to luckily find loopholes that are ridiculous to do so. We're a generation that's disconnected from ourselves and from true connection to other people and to ourselves. I'll stand by that. We can talk it out more, but I mean, Lisa's not our question.
I would argue that it's people who are lost, not people who don't have intellect.
No, he's saying even amongst people of intellect, what's may get lost or may not get lost here is, he's saying, it's mimanafshach. He's putting out a mimanafshach. Either people don't have that intelligence, so people get said, oh, yeah, they're busy learning seminary Torahs because they're not smart enough. They're busy learning chassidut and musar because they're not smart enough. Then the people who are intelligent and actually have the capacity to do it are being taught, don't waste your time on seminary Torahs. So the people who don't have the intelligence, this is how he presents it in the second version, and that's what he's reflecting here, which haven't gone far enough yet. He's saying you're either in one of two camps. Either you're only learning Pashut because you can't deeply look into it, and that's why it gets a reputation for something that can't be deeply looked into, or Chas v'shalom lo alinu to learn Pashut because it's Bittul Torah. That's the model he's presenting here. We didn't get to the end of the paragraph yet. Hold on.
But, does he not, think Bittul Lishma,
I have a different understanding of Mitok Shelo Lishma Balishma. Personally, the way that I understand it is, you're doing it Shelo Lishma with the intent of getting to Lishma.
Or you're just doing it to what?
But doing it Lo Lishma, for the sake of Lo Lishma, is to take, like he talked about, the sword of the king in order to rebel against him. That was his own words. Mitok Shelo Lishma Balishma means you're going and saying, I have the wrong motivations right now, but I'm going to keep doing this. Why? Because I want to get to a place. I'm working to get to a place, and at least I'm sitting and learning while I work on the road to get there. But if that's not part of the goal, if it's just to be Mar Bechochma, if it's just to be the most intelligent person in the room, if it's just to be the top guy in the Shiva, the Midrashah, then there's no Tok. Where's the Balishma?
You don't think they can all this?
Then why is the Torah world not being Balishma? The Amelut is there. Where's the heart? Where's the heart?
So it's our generation.
It's his generation he's talking to. This is since the 1700s. Okay. We haven't gone anywhere. we're still cycling in the same place. To begin, we can keep talking more, but let's finish up at least the introduction so we can jump into, why God created the world next week. Tov, let's fly through the end. I'm not trying to de-emphasize the importance of the conversation, but this is a conversation that's going to take us through the whole year. These topics are not going to change. Achashir yikbu'u kol yunam lasot zamitzvah lehem. They spend all of their time to do that which is mitzvah on them, that which is commanded of them. V'ladat, and to know lefi, and to understand. Lefi shehayidi'ah yashlimut hanafshi, v'hanirtse mimenu yibarach. Excuse me, same thing, that was a long enough break that I lost my train of thought. Ach, asher yik'u kol inam lasot zamitzvah mitzvah lehem. Those people who establish their learning in order to do that is what's commanded them, v'ladat, and to know, l'fi shehayidiyah hi ha-shlimut ha-nafshi, but they want to understand Torah and internalize Torah because it's shlimut, it's spiritual perfection, ha-nirtsemin, which is desired and required of us, mimenu yiparach, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires of us. Hineim ma'at mina ma'at, that's the minority of the minority of the minority of the minority. Al kein chadlu miderech prishut, that's why there's nobody left to really talk about prishut in a serious, meaningful way. Ki kevan she'en ha-mivi'am, li'iyun ha-chochma el ha-hanom she-be-chochma, kashir lo yimse'uze ba-prishut, lo yivoy lav. Because since they don't come into these aspects of Torah with deep investigation, and the beauty of Chochmah, like they come to, they don't come with that to Prishut, to these areas of Torah, they're never going to find the depth of it. The depth is never going to come out and come forward. Aval chassidim matzu be'emet, but the chassidim have found, shekevan she'atachlit b'chol ha'masim, since the whole goal of everything that we're doing in this world, ra'oi she'yeh rak ha'nirtzeh me'nibrach, it's proper that it should only be that which is desired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al kim zeh tzarik she'yivukash b'chol ha'yishtadlut ad she'yimatzeh, this needs to be seeked out with all of the work and effort that a person has until it's found. And there should be no rest in the person's soul until they found perfection on all levels of being. Al Kain, lo umta alecha, ki avo hahirurim ha'ela bilibcha v'achar yilechu. Lo atma, don't be in wonderment that these thoughts have come to you in your heart and then suddenly gone away. Ki biyot teva hachomriyut, it is the nature of physicality, the physical world that we're born into and live in and need to surpass through effort. It is the nature of the natural physical world that we're sunk into. Asher lanu ba'olam hazeh, which we're in this world. Laharchikeinu min hashlimut, it's pulling us away from perfection. This is in the Ramchal, across the board. In this perspective on Chomriyut, also the Maral, also a large percentage of Torah. Saying that this is the idea of the physicality drawing us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and overcoming our physicality, and he'll talk about it more. That even if there's a moment where it rises up in your spirit in order to seek out and come close to this type of knowledge, the deep, dark physicality comes upon you and pulls you away, mimenu kivat pila, like you were before. Bechol atachbulot asher la'oyev haklali asher lanu, with all of the strategies that our general enemy, meaning the Yetzer Hara, all of the strategies that the Yetzer Hara has against us. That's why he's saying, quoting from the Gemara, that hu ha-satan, hu Yetzer Hara, hu malach ha-mavet. These are all different faces, different expressions of that inclination to move away from perfection. The Satan, the Yitzhara, the Malach HaMavet. Heim heim atradut va'ikuvim ha-mityaldim b'chol aseh u'v'chol sha'a v'chol rega. These are the distractions and the impediments that are constantly coming forth at every single moment and every single second. V'tireze matzati, and see this I found. If a person doesn't establish in his heart time to do real, genuine cheshbon nefesh, which he puts the mental insight into and is careful about in all of the nuances which he has in all of his business and all of his other actions, lo yuchal lihimalit may rishtot hayitzer b'shum panim. There's no way he can move out of the reshut of the Yetzer Hara in any way unless he puts his mind and his soul and his effort into it. He's going to fall into a deep dark hole. He's going to fall into the endless deep dark, the endless black hole of blidat, of lack of knowledge in these areas. He doesn't even see the evil that's coming to him until he's already lost. If you don't put time and effort into it, it's not going to come. It's not going to happen. And this is a klal which needs to be recognized and embodied both by the intelligent and the less intelligent. Intelligence isn't the factor. All people need to embody these traits. There's no difference between them. Last paragraph. Amar HaChacham, Be'emet Devarecha Nichnasim Be'oznai. In truth, at this point, your words are really entering into my ears. V'nokvim v'yordim ad pnimiut levavi, and are establishing themselves and going to the deepest depths of my heart. V'nini mechale panecha atash etadrichini bidrachecha, I'm now turning my face to you that you should show me your ways, v'todieni netivotecha v'elchabam, and you should teach me your paths that I'll be able to walk down them. Ki ro'ani, I can say it out loud now that I can knit to myself, ro'ani, I see, sheish lecha yitron alaiki yitron ha'ur min ha'choshech. You have above me, you have an advantage over me, like the light has an advantage over the darkness. Walking without Avodah Shevalev is like walking in darkness in Torah. That's what he's saying here. It's like walking in darkness in Torah. The Koreani alai mashamara navi al kol apokeach inayim einav ro'et nigo, and I say to you that which the navi calls out to open up one's eye when they open up their eyes and they see their sin, they see their damages. Ki acharei shuvi nichamti ve'acharei vadi sapakti al yarech. After I've come back, I have regrets, and after I finally admit my sin, am I able to do tshuva? It means literally to hit my thigh, but it means to do tshuva even on a physical level for what I've done. V'ata, now, imatzati chen beinecha, if I found favor in your eyes, please chasid. Hodieni nat drachecha, and it's apparent that that's a very strong pasuk to be using from Moshe telling God, "Horoni na'at drachecha," to show me your ways. How do I be like God? Show me your ways. Et achatirot asher chakarta, the intelligence that you've gathered, the investigations that you've gathered, et idiot asher matzata b'chol yunecha, and the knowledge that you've found in all of your seeking, ulachat yetzdakan for you will be righteousness. The Chacham is finally ready to go down the path of honest, genuine self-reflection, of looking at things, of trying to understand. This is what he's asking to do, and in order to go down that path, we'll see at the beginning of next week, that in order to go down that path, in order to go down any meaningful path in Judaism, and this is every Sefer of the Ramchal, we can't begin to talk about anything, it doesn't matter what the topic of the book is, unless we know why we're here. If we don't know the goal, we can't get there in our Avodas Hashem, in our knowledge of Torah, in our knowledge of Hashgacha Pratit, and so we're going to spend the next few sessions understanding one very beautiful and somewhat pithy presentation from the Ramchal through the Chassid of what it is that we're supposed to be, what's the goal, why are we in this world, and what we're supposed to accomplish. So, B'zrat Hashem, I'll see you next week.